Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning from the story of Daniel interpreting the writing on the wall. So let's turn to Daniel 5 for a message called The God Who Holds Your Breath in His Hand as we go back to basics.
Daniel refers to God, speaking to Belshazzar, as the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways. Now, for us, that is very encouraging and comforting because we are worshipers of God. And so to think of God as the one who's holding our breath in his hand, the one who owns all of our ways, essentially thinking of him as the one who is in charge of our lives, this brings great comfort and encouragement to me as a believer. But for those who are opposing him, this is a very dreadful thought. You see, what Daniel is saying to Belshazzar is this. He's saying, Belshazzar, the God who is allowing you to breathe his air, the God who is allowing you to awake from sleep every morning and get out of bed, the God who is allowing you to think and feel and talk and eat and walk and laugh and enjoy his world, that God you have not glorified. Belshazzar was an arrogant young man. He was smug, self-important, self-centered, and apparently never had really thought about these things, nor did he ever think of a day of reckoning. He was a person who saw himself as somewhat invincible. He was the king. He was the heir of this vast and glorious empire. And he surely thought in his own heart that there was nothing that could alter that, just like so many today. I'm always amazed at how we seem to go on quite undaunted by the uncertainty of our next breath. You know, think about it. Think about how we live as people. You know, generally speaking, most people go about life as though they're going to live forever. They go about life as though they're invincible. They go about life as though there is no day of reckoning or judgment coming. They go about life as though, you know, they are completely in charge. But the fact of the matter is, our lives are quite precarious. We really don't have much control over anything, even though we think we do. Today, you could possibly, conceivably, you could choke to death on a piece of meat at lunch. It could happen. You could die in a head-on collision on your way home from the market. You could have a microorganism devouring you internally at this very moment and not even know it. You could get pneumonia this week and be dead next week. You could slip walking down the street, crack your skull, and never wake up. And there are millions of other possible scenarios that we could imagine. There are millions of things we unknowingly encounter each and every day that could potentially kill us. So how is it that we could be so arrogant? And we, I'm speaking of man collectively, how is it that we could be so arrogant and refuse to acknowledge and glorify God? I try to keep up on what's going on, you know, in different segments of society, and I follow to some degree what's happening with the new atheist or those who are very outspoken in their opposition to God. And, you know, quite often we're, those of us who believe in the Lord, you know, we hear the things that people say, and we listen to these blasphemous things, and we hear about, you know, maybe the books they've written or the popularity that they've gained, and we just think, oh, man, Lord. The past couple of weeks, there was a person, this was gained some notoriety in the news. There was a person who was speaking to a group of students, and there in the midst of this speech began to openly mock and blaspheme Christ and criticize Christians. And, you know, anybody who listened to anything the Bible had to say was an idiot, you know, and you know, listening to these sound bites, and then the response, you know, the crowd is cheering and laughing and everybody's clapping. But, you know, the fact of the matter is this scenario happens over and over and over again. It has happened over again historically. A man rises up against God. He shakes his fist at heaven. He wags his tongue against his maker. He writes his books. He presents his arguments. He is applauded by the crowd. He enjoys his moment of fame. And then he is cut down. The grave devours him, and there's nothing he can do to prevent it. His friends can't help him. His arguments are powerless to deliver him. His money can't save him. Like Belshazzar, having been weighed in the balance and found wanting, his days are numbered. His life is finished. Death is the ever-present manifestation of the judgment of God against sin. And I always think, as I listen to these mockers and these scoffers and these blasphemers, you know, it just, I don't even know why I get upset, because I think, well, in the end, you know, God will have the last word, because they will die. And it's inevitable. They can do nothing to prevent it. They can do nothing to stop it. I think of all of the blasphemous things that Christopher Hitchens said in his books and in his speeches and in his debates. And yet when esophageal cancer took hold of him, there was nothing that anybody could do for him. There was nothing that his friends or family could do. Those large audiences that cheered him on as he mocked and scoffed at the idea of God, they were powerless to help him. His riches, all the millions that he made off of his books blaspheming God, were insufficient to save him. It is as the psalmist said, I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. So Belshazzar becomes a picture to us of a person, any person, who fails to glorify God. That's what Daniel said. The God in whose hand your breath is and who owns all your ways, you have not glorified him. Now, in Belshazzar's case, there were a couple of things that marked his refusal to glorify God. The one that finally brought the judgment was the one that we read about here, but there were things that preceded that. But of course, as we looked here at the story, what had he done? He had taken these vessels that were intended to be holy, and he defiled them. And in doing so, he failed to glorify God. Whether it's the holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem, as in Belshazzar's case, or the bodies made in the image of God, as in our case, When we take our bodies and use them for idolatrous activity, we are basically doing the same thing that Belshazzar did. We are refusing to give glory to God. Your body, my body, and what I mean by your body is you and your totality, your mind, your emotions, your spirit, all that you are was created by God in the image of God and for the glory of God. And when we take these vessels that were intended to glorify God and we use them to glorify ourselves, we are committing idolatry. When we invest our being in the attaining of wealth or fame or success, when we devote ourselves to sensual pleasure, when we live our lives to gain power and prestige rather than to honor and glorify the Lord, we are essentially doing what Belshazzar did. But that was the culmination of it. There was something else that he did over a longer period of time and more consistently that led to this final act that brought the judgment. And it was that he refused to respond to the evidence for the reality of God that he was daily confronted with. Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was arguably the greatest despotic ruler in all of history. Greatest in the sense that he had absolute and total power. No one has had that kind of power apart from him in history. Absolute, total power over all of the world instilled in one man. That was his grandfather. And as Daniel reminds him, his proud grandfather was humbled by God and deposed from his kingly throne and sent out to live with the beast. But he came to his senses. And he did what God was wanting to see him do. He repented. Listen to the words of Nebuchadnezzar. After he came to his senses, he spoke of the Lord. He said, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" And then he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose words are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down." Belshazzar was familiar with all of this. He had no doubt heard the very testimony from Nebuchadnezzar himself, but he refused that witness. He ignored what was daily set before him, the testimony of his grandfather. In our case, it is the failure to receive the testimony that God has set before us daily. God has set a testimony before all men. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night shows forth knowledge. There is no speech or language, or their voice is not heard. Creation is a continual reminder to all people everywhere that there is a creator. But you see, when man looks at creation, say the eyeball, for example, this amazing instrument, and says, "Oh, this is poorly designed." If there is a designer, as you Christians say, then he's not a very intelligent designer, as you claim. Because the eyeball is very poorly designed, says Dr. Dawkins. You see, this is a refusal to accept the testimony of creation. And people are doing this every day, day in, day out, all day long, refusing to acknowledge the obvious, or the testimony of Christ himself, the testimony of Jesus having come into the world and declared that he came because God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And as that testimony goes out and is heard over the airwaves and in a million different ways, is making its message known to people. But yet there's that resistance. There's that turning of a deaf ear. And then there's also the testimony of the power of the gospel through transformed lives. As people see what Christ does in another person's life, as there's no denying the transformation that has taken place. You see, all of these things are intended by God to bring us to the place of yielding ourselves to him and committing ourselves to glorifying him. So this was the sin of Belshazzar. He refused to glorify God. What does that mean? What does it look like to glorify God? Well, it begins with humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves and admitting. And like I said initially, if we would just stop and think about it for a moment, I wish everybody on the planet would just stop and think about how precarious life really is. How I'm not as secure as I might think I am. How I'm really not invincible. And how one microscopic microbe could take me out in a matter of seconds. If we would just stop and think about these things, we would humble ourselves. We would admit that what God says about it is us is true, that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and we would repent. This is what Belshazzar refused to do. He refused to repent. He knew, Daniel said, you knew all of this. But he hardened his heart. He refused to repent. But to glorify God, we must repent. We must turn away from sin. It's not to merely be sorry for our sin, but it's to be sorry to the point of turning away from it. And then we would surrender our lives to Christ entirely, recognizing that he made us and he purchased us with his blood. He has every right to have authority over our lives. And instead of worshiping the creature, instead of worshiping the things that are made, instead of worshiping ourselves, we would begin to worship the one who made the heavens and the earth, and we would give ourselves lovingly to serve him with all of our hearts. That's what it looks like to glorify God. That's what Belshazzar refused to do. Now, I know that to some extent, I'm preaching to the choir, right? You're the wrong audience. Because this is a message that, Daniel had the right audience. I mean, he was in the right place to deliver this message. He was in this large banquet hall full of thousands of people that were failing to glorify God. And here we are, we're in a church. But the reality is this: not everybody who comes to church is necessarily glorifying God. Not everybody who takes the name of Christian is necessarily living for the glory of God. And I know that to be the case because I know sometimes from a wife or sometimes from children or sometimes from a husband, I know that there are people that come and sit week after week and even are involved to some degree and engaged even sometimes in ministry activity, but yet the reality is in the home, behind the closed doors, or out in the workplace, there's no real attempt to glorify God. There's no effort to glorify God. And if that's the case, we must repent, and we must repent swiftly. Today, we are all alive and able to do what we do and enjoy what we enjoy because God has allowed us to. That's the simple reality. But listen, he will not allow this to go on indefinitely. What he will not do indefinitely is let us go on refusing to glorify him. There's a point where God says it's enough. If we refuse to humble ourselves before him, if we refuse to heed all the testimony that he set before us, if we continue to harden our hearts, sooner or later these words will be uttered over us, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. These words will at one point be uttered over every single person that refuses to glorify God. Whether you're well-known or unknown, whether you're rich or dirt poor, whether you're weak or strong, brilliant or not so brilliant. There's a point in time for those that refuse to glorify God when these words will be uttered, numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. And again, the message to Belshazzar was essentially this: your time is up, your life is over, you have nothing of spiritual value to show for it. What you've accumulated will be divided to others. Your kingdom has come to an end. Man, I think a lot about this reality. Sometimes I wonder, how do people keep going in the direction they're going? How do people just go on carelessly, thoughtlessly, rebelling, revolting against God, terrorizing their fellow men and women, abusing their families, their wives, their children, cheating, lying, stealing, committing adultery, blaspheming? How do they go on thinking that there's no consequence ahead of me? There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. But there will be that moment when suddenly it's over. The words are uttered. That is something that we all have to come to grips with. We're all going to die. And it's inescapable. And either we die having lived a life to the glory of God, or we die with these words uttered over us. Here in the story, we see two men brought face to face with God, the God who holds our breath in his hand and owns all of our ways. One of them, Nebuchadnezzar, humbled himself and gave glory to God. The other, Belshazzar, refused to do so. He rejected God. He mocked and profaned the holy vessels. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, repented, had his kingdom restored. Belshazzar had his kingdom taken from him and was destroyed. And this is a picture of two people, representative of all people. We're either going to be like Nebuchadnezzar, who responded to the revelation that God holds our breath in his hand, or we'll be like Belshazzar. We make the choice. The choice is up to us. Will we humble ourselves and live for the glory of God, or will we continue to deceive ourselves, think we're invincible, and go on living for ourselves? We make the decision.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The God Who Holds Your Breath in His Hand, and the resource number is OBB552. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.